Amen. Welcome, everybody. It's great to be here tonight. Tonight, we are going to have a look, special look at one of the ministries we at the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett support. We have the privilege of Jeff and Jennifer Rohrbaugh visiting with us tonight. So why don't they stand up for just for a moment. Let's stand up. I'll be introducing Jeff and Jennifer in a moment. But first, I want to share a personal perspective on the swamp. I have a perspective to share because as a deacon in this congregation, one of my responsibilities is to serve as this congregation's representative in the ministry of the swamp to our group. You may or may not know this, but deacons have preached in the scripture, and even deacons in this ministry are known to like to preach, right? Amen. So before Jeff and Jennifer's presentation, I will offer some brief personal reflections. You might recognize it as preaching on how special this ministry is to our congregation. I'm an engineer. I work for a city here in Gwinnett County. Cool thing about my job is that whenever something new is being built, I get to be one of the first ones to know because I'm involved in reviewing and approving the initial permit. So I was one of the first to know that a new Zaxby's restaurant was going to be built in Norcross. So I want to give a shout out. By the way, Zaxby's is one of the swamp's corporate benefactors, so support Zaxby's. Get out there and make it. That's right. You drive down the road and see the sign on a vacant lot. Zaxby's is coming soon. So what's interesting in my job is when I get a phone call from various folks equally excited with the soon-to-be-open Zaxby's, the sign's been out there for months, and there's no building. When are they going to finish? How long is it going to take? Have they even been out there working on it? Oh, yes, they have, I tell them. Don't be confused by the fact there's no building going up yet. What you learn in construction school is that the foundation and the site preparation of the building involves about 70% of the construction schedule. So when you finally see a building being constructed, it means that the project is in the last 30% of the whole process. But the building is all we really notice, the glamorous part. But dependent on that is the unseen foundation work for its existence. It's the building of the foundation that is not necessarily glamorous, nor do its results show immediately, but it's absolutely essential for a successful life for our children. The building of a foundation is the most important part of the project. We know from Jesus that how you build the foundation is what defines the success of your project, your life. Remember, rock or sand? The most succinct word on our responsibility as a foundation-building parent, and I'm talking to parents right now, is in Deuteronomy 6:7. It says, impress them on your children. Impress God's laws. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. A foundation consists of many components. In building a spiritual foundation, there are also different components that meet the spirit of Deuteronomy 6:7 in building their child's foundation. We had visionary leaders who understood the importance of building this foundation. Starting in 1993 and culminating with the opening of the Maxey's Crossing property in 1998, the swamp was created and cultivated to provide a component for our parents to use in building their child's foundation. Jessica and I understood this personally by means of an interaction with our own children a couple of Thanksgivings ago. We were traveling to our Thanksgiving destination several hours away with our kids, Leslie and Henry. They were by this time at the tail end of their four-year college careers. To spice up the discussion, Jessica asked everybody to share a happy childhood memory. We were driving on our way to Tennessee. Well, I shared about getting a ride from my dad to the golf course on his way to work just about every day during the summer, then getting picked up on his way home from work. I'd go out and play golf every day during the summer. That was a happy memory. Jessica shared about the birthday parties that her mom would give for her, where she gave presents to the kids that attended. It was a happy memory. They loved coming to Jessica's birthday parties. Then Leslie, who, if you know Leslie, you know that the last thing she will do is tell you something that she thinks you would like to hear. She tells you only what she really thinks. Says, the swamp. Sorry. Dad shares about his golfing. Mom shares about birthday parties. And our daughter remembers a spiritually focused summer camp that she attended during her middle school and teen years. Now, that's a part of a foundation that I'm grateful we built. There are many, and I'll try to pull it together here. There are many cultural forces out there that are vying for our kids' attention. The swamp culture is a spiritual culture that offers a spiritual component of the foundation you are building with your kids. I encourage you as a parent to consider participating in this important ministry in the building of your kids' foundation. I'm talking to kids now. I encourage you as kids to consider the swamp. You will have the opportunity to meet some cool people from the Atlanta area, from the southeast, and even from the far corners of the world. For many, they will be relationships that you will treasure into your college years and adulthood. The swamp is a culture that has been defined over the years during the summer camp ministry of the Atlanta Church of Christ. We stand on the shoulders of Steve Sapp, who led the charge to build the swamp, and Sonny and Carolyn Sessions, whose dream of a camp ministry and whose hearts were transferred to a camp culture that defines the swamp to this very day. Which brings us to our guest tonight. Got through it. All that I wanted to share. Jeff and Jennifer are building on the foundation laid by Cindy and Carolyn, doing a great job. For many of us, Jeff and Jennifer need no introduction. Jessica and I's relationship with them go back to the late 80s when we were in a campus ministry together. Jeff serves as the program director of the Swamp and executive director of Swamp Corps, which I'm sure Jeff will tell you about shortly. They are dear friends and have been there while our kids were going through the middle school and early teen years. But I also know that many of you have not had a chance to meet Jeff. So for you tonight, this will be a significant event as you meet Jeff and raise your awareness of this important ministry. Jeff's claim to fame is being married to Jennifer. Okay. And one of the smartest things he's ever done. So Jennifer is a math teacher by profession. They've been married 25 years. They have two kids who love the swamp. Samantha's 22. She's a social work major at UGA who graduates in 4 weeks and wants to work for the United Nations, making and changing social policy. Nicholas, 19, is a civil engineering major at UGA who has the brains to be at Tech or MIT, but chose to be close to the swamp and his mama. They have worked with kids for 30 years. While in and out of the ministry, as children ministry leaders, middle school leaders, teen leaders, and camp directors. So at this moment, I want you to give a warm welcome for Mr. Jeff Rohrbaugh.
Woo, how cool it is. It's a different location since the last time I've been here, but it's a lot of the same faces, and that is so encouraging. Wow, that was stirring, moving. The swamp means a lot of things to a lot of people. And tonight, I want to interview you just a little bit and ask a couple of questions of the audience. How many of you have never even heard of the swamp before tonight? All right. Thank you very much. How many of you have never been to the swamp? A few more. And how many of you have some sort of familiarity with the swamp? All right, there we go. All right, right. Are we up? Okay. This is the part where they teach you in Speech 101 to kind of waste time. And so, you know, did you ever hear that one about the... No. All right. My role tonight is to do several things. One, for those of you who've never been or had never heard, I want to inform you. For those of you, most of us, who are very familiar with the swamp, I want to inspire and remind you. I think we've got a lot of reminding right there. So I'm going to take a lot of inspirational time. And I want to be able to do several things before I walk away. And one of them is to thank you. You're very integral. Now, I had to look up the definition of integral. Now, Jennifer could probably, you know, she knows this kind of stuff. And guys, marry well. That's all I got to say. Marry well. The definition of integral is that you are a part without which there could be no whole. You are a part without which there could be no whole. And so I have chosen this word intentionally and very well when it comes to you. Because without you, there is no swamp. And I hope by the end of this you'll understand a little bit more, even though it's become part of the ACOC Gwinnett DNA. Because the swamp has been around. You've been around since the beginning, many of you. And so I can't tell you enough how vital you are and how much I'm grateful for all that you do for the swamp. Now, I could stand here and I could tell you about our pool slide. I could. Or I could tell you about our cool pavilion. So all the things that happen on the pavilion. You saw a few quick seconds of, you know, a lip sync with the 18-year-olds, get with the 9-year-olds, girls, and they make them feel really special with this dance. Or we have our ring of honor for the guys where we can pull each other up and we really encourage each other. We usually do it out there on the pavilion. And then, of course, it's a great center of play. Gaga Ball is huge out there. It's really cool when you look at it at night and you're off in the distance and it kind of glows. It's the brightest thing all over camp. I could tell you about that. Or I could tell you about the cabins. Oh, there's no video there because I'm not telling you what goes on there, okay? What goes on in the cabins stays in the cabins. And that's the way I want it, or I won't sleep at night. No. We've got awesome cabins where kids are put together to build relationships. And we do that on purpose so that they're with their peers and they build friendships. And like Jeff said, they're friendships at last. And a lot of you know that because some of you, your grown children, still keep up today. I could tell you about... Yeah. You know, right here, you were just thinking, I got to go down that thing. Yeah. In fact, the record is 326 foot. It was done by a girl. Yeah, go girls. You rule. Yeah. The guys always try to beat it. They just hadn't got there yet. So I could tell you about that, or I could tell you about all the fun activities we do.
Somebody get in pictures.
A little dodgeball.
And look, up and away.
And then at a moment of honor retreat, we got this big, huge air balloon, hot air balloon. It was really cool. You look up and you see the smiley face, although I cut him off there just a little bit. We do a lot of fun things. And I could also tell you about all the friends we make. the friends that you'll keep up with, the friends that you share and you talk at late at night, or maybe the friends that you pray with when you go out on the field, or maybe the ones that for the first time you open up and you say, hey, I just want you to know who I am. Or maybe it's the first time you've ever been someplace and you're scared to death and you're like, and you make your friend. Oh, it's my best friend after a week, my best friend. And you didn't even want to come at first, you know? That's usually 9 and 10 year olds. They're like, but when they get there and they go away. Or I could tell you about just about a time of peace and safety that it is. A time to find yourself, a time to see God, maybe for the first time, or to realize something about yourself. A time to retreat from the pressures of school and the world, social pressures. We put away the phones, we unplug, and we get to spend time like that. So I could tell you all of that, and all of that is true. And for those of you who have not been to the swamp, you got a glimpse. It's beautiful. It's 180 acres, and you're responsible for making it so. But what I want to tell you about that I think is the most compelling evidence of your ministry is I want to share two stories of two individuals that came to camp. And one of them is a young lady. She's 14 years old. And she is at that age where, you know, you're starting to ask questions. You're starting to wonder what things are about. And you're starting to say, well, what does mom and dad believe? And here I hear these things. And now you go to a devotional taught by a counselor. And you begin to put some things together. And this is what she wrote. And we try to do a blog every day, two or three throughout the day. Started that a couple years ago. And it's really, and you want a great time. Just wake up and start reading some of those. You're going to hear some fun things. You're going to hear little 9-year-old boys and say, man, I wish the lunch ladies at my school could cook like this. I mean, it's, you know, and stuff like that. Or you're going to hear really deep stuff. And this is what this 14-year-old girl wrote. Today, a devo by Elise Hoffman really hit my heart as she talked about Jesus. There are three aspects of God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The problem is that we seem to have forgotten the Son and the Spirit, instead putting all of our attention on our Father. Not a bad thing, but we shouldn't forget the other parts of our Lord. Jesus did so many miracles that if all of them were written down, the books of his doings would take up all the space in the world. Jesus is the Son, the person who walked our path and knows our pain. Everyone needs to find their Jesus. And mine is the loving older brother who loves me so much that he died on the cross for me. We forget Jesus a lot, but we really should remember him more. The third aspect of the Lord is the Spirit, and that's in us. A part of God is in us. Let that sink in and feel your mind blow up. Not only are we made in God's image, but he is in us too. That's what a devo at the swamp does. It blows your mind and makes you think about things you've never thought about before. Before today, I never thought about Jesus as my older brother. I haven't really thought about him at all. So here's what you should do. Open your Bible right now and find your Jesus. He's the one who will stand by you in this life, so go find him right now. I'm serious. Amazing. And you see, when you go to camp at 9, 10, 11, or maybe 5, 6, 7 at one of the retreats, you're there to have a great time and fun, and that's what all those previous slides were about. You know, I want those kids to go down the big pool slide. I want them to do it at 15 and 16. Shoot, I want to do it. Jennifer does it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I got her on film, too. And yet, what happens at the swamp is where these kids get a chance to be able to figure out what they believe. And that's important. Because one day it will come down to what they believe. And it could be the following Monday when they leave swamp. Or it could be 5 years down the road. Or it could be 15 years down the road. At some point, they're going to come back. What do I believe? And I believe that they get the kind of things that they will rely upon, not only in this life, but in the life to come. I also want to share with you the incredible impact you're having beyond just our backyard, beyond the Southeast. This past summer, We had a chance to have 9 different countries represented at the swamp. They came in, different people from all over. Korea, Colombia, Jamaica, Barbados, South Africa, Brazil. What am I forgetting? I'm forgetting something. England and France. Pretty amazing. And this story that you're about to hear is from a young man named Alex Carter, and he's from Barbados. In fact, we went there for 3 years. I'll tell you a little bit more about that when I talk about Swamp Corps and what you're doing all around the world. They decided, you see, when we go to some place, we go for 3 years and we train. First year, we do it all. We do the whole program. The second year, we share it. The third year, the host country or the community does. They take on the burden of leading the swamp. And so we're there for 3 years training. And a lot of you have gone on. Some of you gone on trips, or your children, or somebody you know here in the congregation have gone on these trips. And once 3 years pass by, they're considered graduate, and we still keep a relationship. Well, at Barbados, they decided to send all of their camp-age-eligible kids to the swamp last year. And they raised money for an entire 12-month time. Bake sales, car washes, they did everything because they wanted their kids to see what their camp could be like. That was their vision. And this young man is one of the guys that came over. Oops. Hello.
Camp was amazing. I got to meet people from all around the world and play some amazing games. I got to go fishing for the first time in my life. The challenges were awesome. I got to build deeper bonds with friends and family. The pool was great. Right before camp, our house burned and we lost everything. It was hard. After the fire, I was feeling very down and did not want to talk to anyone. I just wanted to be in my own little corner. At camp, I got to realize that holding stuff in hurts more than the actual hurt, which happened. I got to talk to my counselors and other supporting people about what I was feeling. This helped me in a great way, because after camp, I was able to talk to my parents more openly about things that I was experiencing. The lessons helped me to learn about myself more and find out more about other people that I did not know. Camp was the best thing that ever happened in my life, and I would definitely like to visit the camp swamp again.
Yeah! Now, most of you will never meet Alex. And yet you have not only impacted his life, but his family's life. Because you see, his parents are the youth and family ministry. They lead the teens there and the middle school ministries there. They lead, they direct the camp. Their house burnt 3 months before they were to come to the States. And they still got everybody there because their passion was to show people what a camp can do. So you have inspired a nation, an entire island will hear that story. That's pretty cool. That's what really happens at camp. We have fun, we have a safe place, we have a place where people are moved. You know, one of my dreams is, this is not in my notes, so this is free. One of my dreams is I'd love to have an adult camp. I actually was going to do it this year. And we had an off week for years. We would do, you know, like 3 weeks, and then we would have a break, and then we'd do 3 weeks. And I wanted to plan an adult camp where we have our counselors. You guys come out, and we do the same program, maybe at a little slower pace. But anyway, you would experience camp. And then you'd know what Joe Cook felt when he counseled. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, you'd know. Why did you go and do that? Why do you love it now? And I believe it would transform our ministries. Because you walk away like, I just had a little taste of heaven and a vacation for the soul. So But we had a waiting list of 70 people. A camp in Tennessee is shutting down. They called me and said, we're shutting down our camp. We want to send all our kids to the swamp so they can build relationships all over the Southeast. So that was about 150 extra kids. And I thought, okay, well, we got to have another week for the kids. So sorry. But I hope to do that someday. I think it would be awesome. In fact, I think we'd sell it out. That's what the swamp's all about. This is a map of where everybody in the Southeast, where they come from. All those dark blue areas, that's where people come from all over. Bunch of states. You can see the concentration around certain cities. I mean, it's amazing. Okay? But it doesn't stop there. Now, we think there'll be about 1,100 kids come to camp this week. Sign up early because we've already up to 600 and something. So I'm just sign up now. But it doesn't stop there. It goes all over the world. And again, this is what you've done. We've gone to Jamaica. We've gone to Barbados. And this is going to give you the locations, but I want to give you the story because the story is amazing. The way that Swamp Corps started was not really any some mastermind plan of the Rorabas. What happened was, Jennifer and I were leading the teens over in Athens, and a few teens from actually Northview Ministry, their families moved in, and they had gone to the Dominican Republic the year before. And so they were like, Mr. Jeff, can we go somewhere? Can we go somewhere and build a home? Can we serve? Can we do something? So we started talking as a teen ministry, and at that time, the Athens Church, we supported the work in Jamaica. So I called up my friend in Jamaica and I said, hey, can we come and maybe we can build houses and stuff like that, or I don't know, something like that. Well, the government said no because of liability, because of the age. So we were like, okay, darn, what can we do? And all of a sudden, somebody said, hey, we have about a dozen kids who come from Jamaica to the swamp every year. Why don't we take the swamp to them? And so we thought, yeah. Let's try it. Little did I know what I was getting into. But, okay, next thing I know, I'm calling up my friend. I'm saying, what do you think? He's like, oh, my gosh, yeah, let's do it. And we thought, well, let's just go summer of 2010, and let's just have a camp. So next thing I know, 45 people sign up, mostly from Athens, but also in Gwinnett. A few other people around heard word. And next thing I know, I've got to find a Greyhound to take us somewhere and to the airport. We've got 76 kids all over Jamaica who signed up. We're going up into the mountains. We've rented the finest boarding school in Jamaica. And believe me, it is not exactly the nicest place, but it was an awesome location in the mountains. And we have camp. And I mean, it was rocking. It was every bit as much camp as any place. So we come home. 2 weeks later, I get a call from a dad whose son was there from Barbados. He says, whoa, wait a minute now. You did that in Jamaica. You can come to Barbados, right? Well, sure, I guess we can. Let me think about that. I'll call you back. So we start thinking and we start dreaming. And I happened to be sitting in the dining hall with two other individuals. And we started dreaming, well, man, what could we do? And we were walking around. And wouldn't that be cool if we just shared this with the world? If we just went places and gave away what God has given us and what everybody's built, that would be so cool. So I called him back and said, yes. Well, right after that, I get a call from Jamaica. I said, you are coming back, right? I'm like, okay, sure. Well, right before we left, I got laid off from my job. Job that I thought I'd last until Sonny and Carolyn retired because I wanted to work for the camp. So I got laid off. Tough time. But you know what? If I wouldn't have gotten laid off Swamp Corps, I wouldn't have had the time. So we started focusing on Swamp Corps and saying, hey, what can we do? So we ended up devising this Swamp Corps plan. Why don't we train for 3 years? And why don't we take 14-year-olds and up? And why don't we get counselors and volunteers? And we'll just take a camp culture, not a Western culture, not an American culture, a camp culture and give it away. And the one thing we're not going to do is we're not going to promote it. What? Who starts anything without marketing, promotion, talking, build it up? We do. And the reason is because we didn't want to be some mastermind of us. We wanted the Spirit to tell us, where are we going? We also wanted it to be organic. We wanted people to call us up and say, we want you to come, because most likely they would own it. And so we just hushed and did what we were going to do and decided we'll go back to Jamaica, we'll go to Barbados, and if that's the only thing we do in the next 3 years, then wow, look what we've done. The next year in Jamaica, we had over 126 kids. Barbados, we had every kid that was in the church that was camp age eligible, 32 or something like that, small church. And we had a blast. Okay, so now January 2011, I get a call from an elder in the Columbia Church. And he says, hey, we have a brand new teen leader. And I want you to spend some time with him, talk with him. Maybe, you know, we're only 9 miles apart. Maybe we can do something. So I call him up. His name's Mike Block. And we start sharing stories, and I start telling him what we're doing. And I was like, man, you won't believe what our teen ministry did. We went to Jamaica, and we helped do a camp. And he was like, what? Well, I didn't know all this was going on, but Mike and the congregation there, they support a couple, Dave and Beth Pachta, who were living in South Africa. Well, Dave and Beth used to lead camps in the Midwest, and they wanted to start a camp in South Africa, but they were leaving in a year, so they didn't know quite how to do this without it being about them. So Mike calls up Dave, says, Dave, there's this thing called Swamp Corps. Have you heard it? And I said, he's never heard it. We've hardly even heard about it. And he calls me up. We get on a Skype call. He says, well, what is this? And I said, well, this is the framework. I said, it is a work in progress. This is what we do. He said, well, you want to come to Africa? okay. Let me just put some feelers out, see if there's anybody that wants to go with us. So I did. I emailed everybody. February 2011. I said, anybody want to go to Africa and help do a camp there? I had 102 people respond. We ended up taking 62 people to Africa the first time. And they each had to raise about $3,500 to do it. Do you see, this generation, they want to do something. And so we started in Africa, 3 years. Well, the next thing I know, September of 2010, I'll back up just a tad, dad and a daughter at the daddy-daughter retreat, and he walks up, because by this time, Miss Carolyn's put a map of the world and said, this is really cool, Jamaica, Barbados, South Africa, I'll put little lizards everywhere. And so they walk up and look at the map, and this dad, he lives in Jacksonville, and he says, well, I'm a part of the Florida Louisiana Mission Council, and we support a lot of work in South America, and we have churches here in Brazil. Could you go there in February? No, get in line. So he said, well, I'll get in contact with somebody. So we started emailing. We ended up meeting everybody, Brazilians. That was kind of cool. I speak no Portuguese. I barely speak English. And we're talking through an interpreter at the San Antonio, the World Conference, whatever that thing was called. We sat down and started talking. I said, look, if you want to come and see what's going on, why don't you get somebody and why don't you fly them to Jamaica? Because we were about to go to Jamaica in just a couple months. Well, doggone if they didn't go home and do that, and they met us in Jamaica. And they watched what was going on. So next thing you know, we're going to Brazil. 2012. Well, there's some couple, Keith and Lisa Goodwin, and they were in Athens at that time. And we've had several kids that are adopted from India. And she keeps emailing people in India and copying me on it. Oh, my gosh, you got to hear about the camp. Oh, you got to get in touch with Jeff. Oh, you got to talk to this. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Well, the next thing I know, okay, I'm on a Skype call with a brother named Dr. Ashok, and he leads the Hope Work there in Chennai, India. And, okay, very, very good. Good to see you and talk to you. And what an amazing, gentle, it's a fantastic brother. I said, you know, we got to talk. He said, great. Why don't we meet in San Antonio? I went, okay, great. I'll find you out of 18,000 people. All right. So I said, well, okay, we'll just look for each other when we get there, because nobody knew quite where we were staying then. And by the way, he got on the Skype call. He got on the Skype call with us, a brother by the name of Abraham Rajkumar, and he is going to be the camp director. And this was 2012, April, I think, something like that, January. And so we end up in San Antonio. Well, I walk into my hotel, and I'm standing at the elevator. And guess who walks in? Dr. Ashok! we look at each other. And he goes, I'm in this hotel. I said, I am too. What floor? I'm on the 21st. I am too. I'm in room this. That's three doors down from me. You want to have breakfast tomorrow? Oh, my gosh. So we get on another Skype call, and we seriously talk about going to India. Okay? And since then, we've had Nicaragua call us. We've had just some others that are in talks that, you know, will hopefully come. I tell you all that because amazing things happen because of your integral part. Because you support not just money, time, energy, prayers, all of that. And you might not even know what's going on. Now, here's the really cool news. Jamaica is about to have its sixth year of camp. Barbados is about to have their fourth year of camp. Their first time, they've now got a vision, so they're going to do it this year. South Africa, huh? Fifth year, you're right, fifth year. South Africa has now gone to 2 weeks. They have over almost 400 kids that come to camp in 12 countries in Southern Africa. This December, they are now going to train people in Zimbabwe, which is about a 20-hour car ride north, for five countries around Zimbabwe, and there's going to be about 150 kids there. So now they're training somebody, and I'm helping them plan the team and get it together. I just traveled to Houston to talk to the African Missions Association, where there were brothers from Nigeria, Abidjan, and several other places all over Africa, and I got to talk about the camp and talk about what could happen and the fact that Southern Africa wants to be a hub and train people. India, their first year, had 196 kids. Some of them rode on a train for 24 hours to get to camp. This year, there's such a clamor for camp that they are going to have 2 weeks. So we're when we go to India here in just 3 weeks. Oh, gosh. I got to get ready. Sorry. We're going to go for 2 weeks. We're going to have two camps. Kids are coming literally from all over India. We even have a couple of kids coming from Bangladesh and coming from Nepal. We were going to have some kids come from Pakistan, decided against it because it was just too dangerous. It would have brought attention on the camp because when kids from Pakistan, anybody that comes from Pakistan, it gets the attention of the police and they go where they go. So we thought that's just not going to work. So we've been talking to Nepal because Nepal said, hey, we could host a camp. And the people from Pakistan can get into Nepal, and so can the Indians. So why don't we just get everybody together in the Switzerland of the Southeast Asia? And have camp near Mount Everest. Ah! Okay. That's a starlight devotional waiting to happen. I'm trying to tell you, just God is doing amazing things. And as Jennifer and I go around the world, I think God's got this big pot, and he's stirring this generation. And he's saying, you know what? There's lots of ways they're close and tight, and they want to do stuff. And I am stirring an army is what I really believe. And we get a role to play in it, and you have an integral part in it. That's what's happening on a worldwide basis. And that's what's happening to our kids here. Because, you see, they get to meet people from around the world. Because I've got people coming from several different places this summer. Cape Town, Durban, South Africa. It's like, really? We got people coming from, we got a couple that's coming from the Bahamas. That's the other place that now we've started. I mean, it's just, oh my gosh, what's going on here? And our kids get to build relationships with people outside of Facebook, that real, you know, face to face. And how amazing is that? That is your doing. And you should be proud of that. Proud. And stand tall. And I'll leave you with a couple of things. You know, we brand the swamp. You know, we got the gecko, and we talk about the swamp. It's really funny when people around Georgia, you know, Athens, talk about the swamp. What, is this Florida related? What's going on here? How did it get its name? I said, well, I think some Florida fans got in there, But we talk about the swamp, and I'm okay with that because if it relates good things, if it relates all the stuff we're talking about, if it's the way to package one concept and idea, great. But if it ever becomes bigger than the honor of God, then I'm going to turn my T-shirts in, and I'm going to go find a different job, and we're just going to sell the property. And I want you to know that Because some people have asked me about that. Boy, you talk a lot about the swamp and you don't talk about God. I said, oh my gosh, then I'll correct that and you need to come to camp and hear what we talk about. So I want you to feel secure in that. And then lastly, how many of you know the cost of camp? What is it? $450. That's exactly right. Right there, $450. Now, you go price that out. In fact, you go to the website. I've done it for you. But you can do your own research. That's cheap. No. That's inexpensive, not cheap. That's inexpensive. How much would camp be if it wasn't for people like you and other donors and other people that support the camp around the Southeast? That's what it would be. Does that say $880? Now grasp that for a minute. You're talking about an integral part. Think of a number of kids that wouldn't be able to come because of that price. And see, once again, not only you are integral in the lives of 14-year-olds and Alex Carters, not only are you integral in the lives of people all over the world, but you're integral in your own well-being. And I just want you to know that. We've got an event coming up that you've probably heard about. It's called 50 for 5. And we're trying to talk about it because we've never done anything like this. And the truth is, we're at a point where more and more donations and renting the camp is becoming integral. Get that word back in there. And so we thought we'd have a day of giving. The main purpose of the day of giving is to share our 5-year plan. And we decided to come up with an idea of what could we do? What could we just throw out there? This is where we decided to have a little mastermind. And we thought, how cool would it be? What if we had another swamp somewhere in the U.S.? I don't know how that's going to happen. Somebody called me up and said, well, do you have a master plan for that? Yeah, just pray about it. I don't know. Maybe it'll happen. Everything else has happened around the world. Why would I want to start planning things now? I'm just throwing out dreams. Maybe I should have called it a 5-year dream. Yeah, I like that. Okay, well, so the 5-year dream, we want you to know about it. Pray about it. Get on board with it because you're obviously an integral part and you can see what it's doing around the world and here in the Southeast. And then we're trying to just gain friends of the swamp. And all the friend of the swamp is somebody that, there's a few people that give once a year or quarterly. A lot of people decide, can I give 10 bucks a month? That's a lunch. You know, there was a mom in Jamaica who went without lunch for 1 year. So that her daughter could go to camp. That's pretty cool. And so we're going around, and I don't apologize for it, because I think we have something here that most of us agree is a ministry, and it's changing the world. And so one lunch a month. You imagine if 5,000 people out there, there are about that many people, we think that are alumni, but also just in our database, maybe more. That's real conservative. If 5,000 people did $10 a month, you do the math. One lunch. Okay. What could we do around the world? Because right now I've got invitations. I can't do any more weeks of summer camp. Jennifer and I are it. We're trying to figure out how to, you know, train people and raise them up. But once I train them, what are they going to do? Come out for a weekend or once a week? What if we could do more? So that's why I'm just trying to get the word out. So go online, look at the 50 for 5 page. We're having a big celebration for 2 hours in Athens. We're going to, you know, the Athens church is going to, we're going to cook hamburgers and Zaxby's is going to bring chicken. Yes. And we're going to have the big obstacle course. We're going to have a live stream from 6 to 7. So you can, at your dinner table, have a viewing party. That'd be really cool. You could do it in your car. Drive carefully. So I just want you to know about why we're doing these things. Because sometimes we can monetize things and forget the reasons why we're doing it. And I'm very, very grateful. Very, very grateful for you because you've mattered. And I hope that you feel that for me. I hope it's sincere. I hope it's with great depth. And I hope that it's with great vision. Because what you've done will last the ages. I believe there will be kids who right now are 9 years old who will end up doing amazing things around the world. And it's because of you, and I'm grateful. Thank you.